The public first learned about us through those programs and some talks organized by Professor Flavio Pereira at 480 Banitas Street, near Panamericana Square. It all happened slowly, but eventually there were hundreds of people desirous of taking part in the contacts. Once again, terminally ill patients or people with serious health problems asked us to intermediate for a cure through the extraterrestrials. Professor Flavio once received information that I had supposedly accomplished miraculous cures in Camp Inez, which was not true. Although there was a program of work, the same I that was followed in Peru, our structure was fragile because it was very new. The youths began to form new groups. Some new members were outstanding: Fernando the Blonde, Elaine, Stella, Luis Tardashi, Joazino, Jovino, Luis the Blonde, Domenico, Elinora, Joel, Beth, Nielsen, the twins Eduardo and Roberto, Pasilia, Jair, Prisla, Dante, Susanna, Mozart, Christina, Rodolfo, and many others. Suddenly we had more than 300 people working in groups, but one thing was missing. Everybody was looking forward to a contact, living for the contact, working for the experience. But only that. Contact and the field experiences were the major motivators of the whole work. At the end of 1976, Rodolfo Arameo came to Brazil to inform me that the Earth Council was totally disorganized and that the fight for power was bitter. The chaos in the groups reflected the attitude of the instructors, who had reverted entirely to individualism and authoritarianism. I was shocked by that report and asked Rodolfo to talk to my brother Sixto, who was already working with some groups. Back in Lima, Peru, Rodolfo asked Sixto to coordinate the work of our groups, with the support of the practice manual I had left with them and the help of a few young men from Rodolfo's group who were in a position to offer it. As well, I telephoned Sixto and asked for his help, reinforcing Rodolfo's request. He willingly agreed. But here in Brazil, everything was quite different. I began to notice that our experiences here were also limited, but could not understand why. The extraterrestrial presence was scarce and the close encounters of the third kind did not occur anymore. In 1978 I went back to Peru on a visit and I noticed that the experiences were becoming rarer too. I also sadly confirmed that Charlie's image was still the same as in 1976, a dissident. Conflicts and competition had not decreased with time, on the contrary, they had increased. I came back to Brazil so sad and disillusioned with Peru that I opted for complete independence and definitive isolation. I did not feel like competing or proving anything. A difficult, troubled phase of my life began. On a field outing to Serra Negra in the interior of São Paulo, I lost control and exploded. I did not understand what was happening to me, what was happening to the guides, but I knew that I was feeling lonely and abandoned. All the influence I thought I had disappeared. The continuous flattery of people around me had made me lose my sense of reality. I had felt I was powerful, a guru, chosen and sent to save humanity. I was caught in a trap from which somehow I had to find my own way out. Suddenly the group was in crisis, the lack of phenomena began to cause conflicts and my power to attract extraterrestrials did not work any longer. I felt abandoned, discredited. What had happened? It was as if all that magic had vanished. It was very hard for me to recognize that I was guilty of my own failure. It was much easier to blame others for it. Those were difficult weeks. I could not see what was wrong, where I had failed and in which direction lay the resolution. I kept to myself for months in contemplation of the problem until I finally discovered that I was its origin. It was a distressing, solitary time. I was guilty of the mortal sin of arrogance, conceit, petulance. I had forgotten my commitment to serve and had allowed myself to become the center of salvation. I had exchanged the hope of evolving to a better world for a temple to myself. Few friends understood that I was learning too, that I was also in a development process and that now, for the first time, I was growing in the right direction. I was conscious of my mistakes. I began work again, trying to compensate for lost time and trying to reunite with those I had misled. I was far from being perfect, but many people had thought I was, and that mistake had brought bad consequences for both sides. During that period, a little before I stopped my activities, some friends played a joke on me that would complicate my life even more. These friends, who were skillful photographers, had created some fake photos intending to test me with them to see if I could identify a fraud. So, through clever photographic techniques, they had produced a series of slides of an extraterrestrial spaceship flying over the city of São Paulo at night. To me, they explained that it had been easy to take the photos because they had received the information about the spaceship through communication. I kept the photos for some time, intending to study them later. One of the authors of the photos and I went to Professor Flavio Pereira's house and showed him the photos. We wanted to have his opinion but did not mention anything about the people involved. Professor Flavio was impressed by the photos and said that he would like to have a copy. I had some copies made and sent to him. I also kept copies for myself and gave the originals back. A few months later, someone called Dante, acquainted with a member of the group, who was interested in my group and contact work and who was a friend of some journalists working for a renowned magazine in São Paulo, invited me for an interview which I accepted without reservations. I was told that the journalists had been impressed by the reports they had received. They called me up to arrange a day for the interview and asked me to bring some photos to illustrate the story. I chose the ones I considered the best, unfortunately including the fake ones. After a lengthy interview, I presented the photos. The journalists were impressed mainly with the fake ones and asked about their origin. I repeated to them the story I had been told as it was the only information I had. The interview was published by the magazine a few months later. The journalists had taken the photos for examination by Professor Alan Hynek, a well-known American scientist and researcher who was in Rio de Janeiro, Sunsa's project in Brazil on February 19, 1976. Charlie arrived at the Viracopos Airport in Campinas, São Paulo, Brazil. His intention, at the beginning, was to continue his psychology studies at the Federal University of São Paulo, living with his aunt Rosa, his father's sister. During his first months of adaptation and learning of the new language, his cousin Pamela, who has already participated in several field practices in Peru, repeatedly encouraged Charlie to start a new group, but Charlie considered the idea a little bit premature. Around May 1976, Pamela mentioned to her group of friends the unbelievable experiences she had while staying in Peru at the end of 1975. Pamela's stories aroused tremendous curiosity in these young 15-17-year-olds. But would this be true? They asked themselves. One day, returning from the university, Charlie was surprised by the unexpected visit of those anxious and curious youngsters, who for many days had yearned to know the truth about the fantastic stories. Charlie saw in those boys the opportunity of forming a small group, as their curiosity and keenness to discover were immense. After the details of the Rama's beginning were known, the small group started their preparation in order to establish contact with the guides as soon as possible. Then there came the first field trips, and so the sighting started. In less than 3 months the youngsters had come not only to believe in the contact but also to take part in it. The top priority consisted of establishing communication quickly, verifying it and organizing new groups. All this was supported on a structure that was so elastic that it allowed the coexistence of concepts and information from different sources. Furthermore, the deficiencies within Rama's dynamic and Charlie's inexperience in a country of different habits, customs and culture, were factors that made the group's original organization difficult. On the other hand, life within the system, family obligations and various responsibilities, terribly limited the transformations that these youngsters could go through. Rama was offering them a never-imagined adventure, however, it was not offering them a clear vision of what they should leave behind and what to replace it with. Those who sought the most for it and those who sacrificed the most in order to learn remained till the end. It's important to point out that in the first years of Charlie's work in Brazil, it was necessary to implement a major transformation, not only in him as the one responsible for the Rama project in Brazil, but primarily in the contact methodology to more fully appreciate the advantages of the conveyed knowledge. In the ensuing years, circumstances arose which altered the Rama's development. Charlie did not understand why so few people remained committed. The contact evidence and the existence of a relationship between extraterrestrials and humans was clear, yet it was not enough to effect a change in the people. What was missing? About 1981, Charlie resolved to end the contact and the formation of groups. The existing ones were dissolved. Simultaneously, Peru was in a similar situation. Sixto had moved away in order to live in a community and to take a recess in the formation of new groups. The existing ones were on their own. During a two-year period, Charlie questioned from every possible angle Rama's validity, its objectives, the reason for its existence and even the possibility of his being manipulated by the extraterrestrials for dark purposes. By the end of 1983, Charlie resolved to restart the contacts, even though he was afraid that this was no longer possible. However, little by little the communication came back. The purpose of this revival was simple: to ask the guides what they were really expecting from us, what the purpose of the contact was, how we could improve and if it was possible, to structure a practical method of allowing people to widen their state of consciousness in order to change, and which values would be substituted. What method could be used to show man the importance of building a new culture, and how could we carry out all of this without leaving the system? After a physical contact in 1983 with the extraterrestrials, a new beginning started and a new work plan was given. The new practice guide and the new pilot project was begun. The interaction with the guides was carried out over a period of months until the formation of one group was authorized. Charlie thought of assembling some of the former instructors who were still in contact with Rama, but insecurity and disagreement undermined any possibility of realizing that notion. It was necessary to start with a virgin group that had no history in order to allow things to work out. Thus the base group was formed, an experimental group, whose objective was to serve as a guinea pig of a totally different method to what had been previously practiced. The guides would experiment with a new method of stimulating people in order to create a consciousness of their own being, as well as of their relationship with the extraterrestrials and, furthermore, of the role they would come to play in order to guarantee the future of humanity. This process was disturbed by situations that, at different times, escaped the guides' control. But even so, at the end of almost 3 years of work, the first results were satisfactory. This outcome brought about the formation of another group, which was named Group 2, where this new, corrected and improved methodology was utilized. The outcome achieved by this second group stimulated the formation of new groups, still kept on an experimental basis. This entire work project was named Pilot Plan in the beginning. In 1987, Charlie went to the city of Montevideo, Uruguay to participate in a Rama Congress. This time he presented the results obtained from Rama Mission, Brazil, encouraging some Uruguayan members to sympathize with the new pilot plan. The next year, by invitation of Jorge Drocoli's group, the project was presented integrally and practiced. Today, this is a working model for distant groups in different places. In early January 1988, Charlie held a conference in the city of Jundiaí in São Paulo, at the Municipal Chambers Auditorium. On February 5 he realized the first meeting of the first group formed outside the capital city. In mid-1988, this same work program was presented to Marcela Galvez's group in San Salvador, El Salvador, Central America, arousing as a result the interest of other groups from neighboring countries to know the Rama Mission pilot plan. In the years following, New groups started to work in Chile, Australia, Central America, Uruguay, Peru, Canada and Spain. In 1995, the old pilot plan was changed to the AMAR project. After analyzing the whole AMAR mission process and its results over its 26 years, Charlie and the Brazilian instructors, along with the extraterrestrials, redesigned the old program, providing a modern and more dynamic structure. Under these premises, the whole project is kept constantly responsive to the needs of the development and transformations of the all members. This project is not and will not be a person, it is much more than that, it is the result of the effort of people who wish to take part in the building of a better world, as well as to guarantee a future for our children and those who will come after us. In 2001, after letting the Brazilian groups prepare for working at a different level, Charlie traveled to Toronto, Canada to start a new phase of his work. This time to impact the English community and let them know about the extraterrestrial experience and what those people are offering to us. In 2005, aside from the worldwide problems and misunderstandings in regards to what the Rama and Rama process were and became, our contacts with the guides continuously happen in all of the groups presently involved in our work. Reason why we decided to break apart from any relation with the other groups named Rama or Rama, and founded a new organization denominated Sunsis Project. This is the name given to the new phase of the process we are presently experiencing. Sunsis Project in Canada. Rama Project started in Canada around 1994, but consisted only of Latin people who extended their work here from El Salvador. They continued their learning and exercises guided by the facilitators who made their home in Canada as well. Due to linguistic difficulties and barriers, the people did not consider extending this work to North Americans. In 2001, Veronica, Charlie, Paz Wells immigrated to Canada to live a more favorable life as a transgender individual, but also, to introduce the North American public to the work she has been doing for the past 30 years, and to inform and educate people of the kinds of interplanetary relationships they can have with their fellow brothers and sisters from other worlds in the same galaxy. In 2005, aside from the worldwide problems and misunderstandings in regards to what the Rama and Rama process were and became, our contacts with the guides continuously happen in all of the groups presently involved in our work. Reason why we decided to break apart from any relation with the other groups named Rama or Rama, and founded a new organization denominated Sunsis Project. This is the name given to the new phase of the process we are presently experiencing. The Canadian group has been actively working with Veronica for more than 4 years. They have participated in group discussions, been introduced to the self-development tools given to Veronica from the ETs, and they have learned how to think in a more universal way, challenging social, cultural, and spiritual paradigms that hinder the growth and evolution of human beings. The group has also participated in numerous field practices. These consist of a group outing to a remote place where each member participates in an individual self-control experience. This allows a group member to safely embark to a secluded place, away from the other members, and allows the person to meditate and engage in mental communication with one of their fellow ETs. As well, it allows the person to challenge their fears and overcome them. Sometimes during self-control, the person experiences physical phenomena, such as the sighting of swift probes, which come in the form of flitting red lights, or other phenomena. People also experience the sighting of spacecrafts and vehicles, and other probes and the like, together as a group during these field outings. The group so far has witnessed undeniable evidence of probes, magnificent craft activity in the sky, as well as the special privilege of participating in physical encounters with the ETs. The Canadian group consists of both English and Latin-speaking people. Fortunately, the language barrier has been broken, and Veronica has been able to introduce Canadians to this wonderful opportunity to change their lives and the lives of humanity. This group is constantly striving to better themselves and create a more favorable future for themselves and others. They work well together, and strive to overcome obstacles and keep a collective focus on their goals. Sunsis Project in the world based on our goals and history. The Sunsis Project structured a specific working system, which maximized results with minimum time and effort. We are a group of people gathered together for the purpose of self-development and systematic preparation in order to reach higher levels of consciousness, and for an intimate cultural relationship with more advanced civilizations of extraterrestrial origin. We have invited the international press to witness extraterrestrial encounters many times. All these events were scheduled a few weeks in advance of the encounter. The results were recorded on video and in photographs, and were also printed in the headlines of many newspapers and magazines. The Sunsis Project groups exist in many countries around the world. But, unfortunately, in non-Spanish-speaking countries, such as Australia, Canada or UR, the groups are composed mostly of people from Latin communities. At this point, we are endeavoring to grow and reach other countries step by step. And for that purpose we are breaking the language barriers and providing physical evidence of our experiences along with a solid background of knowledge, which is an accumulation of our long years of work involved with many cultures and countries. We are now improving and updating our knowledge and moving into the English-speaking countries. Until now we have had success only in the Spanish and Portuguese countries. Our goal is to reach the non-Spanish-speaking people in order to complete the process and make an impact on humankind and prepare for the arrival of our extraterrestrial friends. This scenario will allow new possibilities and will bring hope for a new future. A new world, better, fairer, and full of equal chances for all. Source: Sunsis Project International website.